Anda bersama SBS Bahasa Indonesia. Dapatkan lebih banyak lagi cerita bagus di sbs.com.au/indonesia.
Pemain gelandang bertahan timnas Indonesia U17 yang juga bermain untuk tim Sydney FC U20, Aizar Jacob Tanjung, menyempatkan waktu datang ke studio SBS dan berbincang dengan SBS Indonesia. Mulai dari cerita tentang klubnya Sydney FC hingga timnas Indonesia U17 dan U20, dari peran keluarga hingga uji kemampuannya berbicara bahasa Indonesia. Berikut ini pendengar perbincangan saya dengan Aizar Tanjung.
Sydney FC or Sydney FC is probably the best A-League club in Australia, in my opinion. We have really good coaches, the environment, the facilities. It's really, really good. Like, it's helpful for all the footballers in that academy, mm-hmm. and for me as well, like for my development, like if I was to pick one A-League club to be at, I'd be at Sydney FC.
So you're in the right place already?
I'm in the right place to hopefully improve myself as a footballer and as a person off the pitch, and Sydney FC overall, like really good people. The people mm-hmm. there are really, really nice. And yeah, every day I train with them in the mornings before school, and yeah, it's really a really good environment to be in for a footballer like myself.
Right. And you're with them, like, it's for under 18 or under 20 even?
Right now, I'm in the under 20s team. So I'm just making my way up to hopefully the A-League team soon, one day. But yeah, right now I'm currently with the under 20 squad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, well, we're still in that topic, Sydney FC. So enlighten us. When was the first time that you joined them? Or how was the moment at that time?
When I first joined them, it was when I turned 15. So I was only 15, still playing for a local team, Rockdale Inlandon, at the time. I got the call up to Sydney FC. Wow. When I first got the letter, my parents told me, I was amazed. Like, I was just, like, happy with all the hard work I put in to, like, reach this milestone for me in my football career. So first joining Sydney FC, like, I knew it was only an uphill battle, like, in terms of, like, competing with other players, like, training is going to be more intense. I've got to watch what I eat. Like, I've got to stay fit, stay healthy, and just be consistent on and off the field. Like, Sydney FC, like, from the start when I was 15, like, I've always, like, their environment has helped me become a better person and a better player. So Sydney FC, from the start since 15, was a really good move.
Was that you just saying this because you're a Sydney native, you reckon?
No. I'm being genuine when I say my words with Sydney FC. Like, they've really helped me as a player and as a person, and I really appreciate for what they've done for me.
When you said you got called up, how did you get called up?
For, like, Sydney FC?
Yes.
So basically, I was at Rockdale in my under 14 season, so that was, I think, 2022. So my 2022 season, I was at Rockdale. I was playing. I used to start every game. I'd play 90 minutes every game, and I'd just be performing. And also that year, I was exposed to. I made the New South Wales state team. So there was state nationals. So every state, Victoria, New South Wales, Queensland, they would all have their own team in the time. And during September, so I think it was after the season, we had like a championship tournament, and I got invited to be in the New South Wales team, and I really strived in that tournament. I really showed what I'm capable of on the field, and I think I got scouted off those performances and from the season games with Rockdale. So I think that's how I got my way into the academy.
Was it, like, really a big surprise for you or your parents, maybe? Or it's just like, oh, this is something that is there. Yeah, it's meant to be like this.
Half-half, really. My dad was like, my mom and dad had different views on it. So my mom was like, wow, this is a crazy step. Like, I'm so proud of you. And my dad was like, oh, you didn't make it. You're just in Sydney FC. Like, you still got to keep going, still keep training, still work hard. And my dad's right. Like, I still got to. Just because I got the call up to Sydney FC when I was 15 doesn't really mean anything, because I still got to perform, I still got to train every day. Like, the job's not done. Like, I got to
not even maybe started.
Going. Yeah.
Right. Your dad. Who is this dad? Is he a football player himself?
My dad was a footballer himself. He was a striker. He just played local league, but he's like, since I was young, I think I started playing football at the age of 3 or 4.
Mm.
He put me into football, and I just enjoyed it so much. Like, he used to take me to the park every day. Like, I'd train and enjoy. And, when I train, since at a young age and to this day, like, when I train with a smile on my face. Like, I enjoy my football yet. And that's what my dad really helped me with. So enjoying my football, because if you don't enjoy your football, then there's not really a point in playing. But yeah, my dad helped me out, improved my skills, and just gave me tips after every game. Like, he would say, "Oh, you should have done this, you should have done that."
Mm.
But that's what your dad's there for, and I'm pretty grateful to have him in my footballing career.
Is that really how you respond to it? Because maybe any other kid will say, like, if you can do better, you do it yourself, Dad.
Oh, of course. Every time my dad gives critics after my games, like, I'd be so annoyed. Like, can you do this? You can't do that, you know? But that's just life. That's just how it is. Like, I'm sure I'm not the only one experiencing father and son relationship, like, on sports, not even just football, maybe different sports.
Mm.
But yeah, like, parents would always give critics to your kids, but honestly, you just got to take it on and just keep playing.
Well done, Dad, right? Okay, we're talking about your dad, so we're talking about the roots, actually. So were born here, but you have an Indonesian blood somewhere from someone?
Yes, so I was actually born in Sydney, Australia. My dad and mum are both Indonesian. My mum's born in Indonesia and my dad is born here. So I grew up in Sydney all my life, pretty much. I'd always go to Indonesia, though, to meet family, because I've got a lot of family there, both from my mum and dad's side. So it's good. It's a grounding experience to go back and see what life is really like in Indonesia compared to here, because just on and off the pitch, like, Indonesia and Australia have their differences, and I'm just grateful to be here. And also, yeah, just the Indonesia, I'm just proud to be Indonesian. My mum's born in Indonesia, Cianjur.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So she grew up, yeah, West Java, grew up around there. And my dad's parents, my grandma is from Jakarta, and my grandpa is from Bukit Tinggi,
Sumatra. I hope I say it right. Yes, Sumatra.
Bukit Tinggi, no? I think it was Bukit Tinggi.
In the island of Sumatra,
yeah.
I hope.
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think that's
right.
Yeah.
And do you always speak English to your family? Bagaimana kemampuan bahasa Indonesiamu, Azhar?
Saya bisa bahasa Indonesia sedikit, tapi susah banget.
That's a good one. Try to talk to me as much as you can in Bahasa All Indonesia. Right. What about that?
All right. Coba. Sounds good.
Right?
All right.
What is the fondest memory that you can recall while visiting Indonesia? Apa yang paling diingat?
I can't, if I'm being honest, I can't answer.
Okay. What topic then? Subject in football?
Yeah.
Okay. In Bahasa Indonesia. What is the hardest or the most difficult thing that you need to do as an athlete? Sebagai seorang pesepak bola?
Nutrisi, makan. Oh my God, I can't do it. Honestly,
so that's pretty much the longest phrase that you can speak.
I only know little one or two words, phrases. Like, I understand what you're saying, but it's just, bicara susah banget.
I say, right? Well, kalau dihitung, if we count that you should be able to speak Bahasa Indonesia,
yeah,
and then maybe dialect from West Java, from Bukit Tinggi, that's lots.
Yeah, what's it called? Because my friends in my teman-teman di main timnas U17, they asked me, oh, where are your parents from? And I'm like, where? Sumatra. And they're like, oh, can you speak this? Can you speak that? And I'm like, no, I can't. I can't even speak. Like, yeah, it's just all shell shock for me. Like, but day by day, I try my best at home with my mum, with my dad to learn the Indonesian language. And yeah, hopefully, but yeah, I'll be fluent.
Yeah, no, yeah. I believe so. Then maybe one day, Coach Nova.
Coach Nova, yeah.
Bicara dengan timnya bahasa apa?
Bahasa Indonesia. Bahasa.
Mm-hmm. So how would you understand that?
No, honestly, if I'm being completely honest, I'd understand like everything he's saying because it's like repeated phrases like, oh, pass here, pass there, like football tactical wise. I'd also have a translator, so there's not just me, but there's me and there's another boy from Netherlands who can't speak good Bahasa. But, like, I don't really need the translator, to be honest, like, because I understand, like, pretty much everything he's saying, like, in a video meeting before a game or trainings, like, I would understand what he's saying. It's just communication-wise, like, it's just a bit hard for me, like, especially with the grammar as well, because the grammar is a lot different to English language, but...
It's less difficult, actually. Grammar-wise, no?
For Indonesian, no way. Maybe because I'm used to English, but Indonesia for me, grammar, no way. I can't do it.
Right. Since we mentioned Coach Nova.
Coach Nova, yeah.
Yes. I don't know. Can you answer this? Like, how is your relationship with him?
With him? I'm pretty sure everyone can relate. Everyone on my team can relate, but he's like a father figure. Every time we step into breakfast, lunch, dinner, training, games, like, he's just a father figure. Like, he's just another person. He's a really kind person, except for half times when he's screaming at you. But anyways, apart from that, Coach Nova, he's probably one of the best coaches I've been under. Like, he's really good. Our relationship is strong. Yeah, so he'll be coaching the under-20s coming up, which is pretty good for me because I've already have a strong bond with him. So hopefully I'll be in that team coming up soon in June. And yeah, just Coach Nova is just like a father figure to me. He's a really good person, really good coach. And I really rate him so highly.
Right, right. Correct me if I'm wrong. So then this May, you will still compete in under 17?
No, this is not in the under 17s. That's for 2009 and under. So I'm actually moving up to the under-20s, under-19s, 20s now, which we have a competition coming up in June in Medan. Mm-hmm. It's called AFF, so we'll compete against, I think, all the Southeast Asian teams, Australia maybe, in Medan. So I'll be joining the team in April, I believe, for some training with the team, strong bonding and stuff like that, yeah.
Right, April is just like 2 months away-ish?
Yeah, not too far away, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So if we talk about the Indonesian national team, so you were a kid who joined Sydney FC since 15. Mm. And then how did they find you, the people from the Indonesian national team?
So I was found by an ex-sports minister. His name is Pak Hamdan. He found me on social media, actually. I mean, social media in Indonesia is, like, massive. Like, if you look at the following, it's crazy. The media is crazy over there compared to Australia. So he actually found me. He was looking through my account, saw some clips, and was like, oh, this player's got potential to be representing our country. We should bring him in. So
And this was, like, when, you reckon?
This was in 2020, I think, 2024. Yeah, 2024. And I got brought in for some training. I then went back here for just club. I went back to club. And then next year, I got the call up again in July. So this is July 2025. I got called up for a training camp in Bali in preparation for the World Cup.
Wait a second. When you got called up for Bali, so that means that you're already in the main team?
Oh, no, this is selection still. Everyone's in
still selection.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So everyone's still in selection. This is July Bali 2025. So I joined And we were training. This was in lead up to the Independence Cup. So this is where I made my debut. And the rest is history. Wow. That's how I joined.
Right. When the first time, the very first time you got called up by the Indonesian team, who contacted you or dad?
So Pak Hamdan gave them my details, and the admin, one of the admin, so his name is Ivank. Ivank runs, like, he's one of the staff in the under 17s team at the time, who would do like the emails, the flights, stuff like that. So that's how I got contacted, and he sent Nova's messages to me on his behalf, and I got the call up. That's how I first got it.
And how was your reaction at that time, the very first time you got that?
If I'm being completely honest, I was like, oh, Indonesia, because I never really thought of playing abroad, because I was always thinking about, oh, the Socceroos, the Joeys, like the under-17s, because I have, in my team, I have a lot of Joeys players, a lot of players that are representing Australia at the under-17s level at the time. So I was like, oh, it'd be good to play for Australia. But once I got this call-up, I saw this as an opportunity to really express myself at the international level. And, like, I'm just really grateful to be Indonesian, to be able to represent this team, because I love the country and that's where my parents are from. And yeah.
You told me about the reactions your mom had, your dad had for the Sydney FC.
Yeah.
When the Indonesian team called, what was their reaction?
So my parents were in shock. They were in shock. Like, how can we get a call up from Indonesia, somewhere abroad, to play for the national team? Like, it's just a surreal feeling. Like, as soon as we got the letter, we just messaged, like, the whole family, like, oh, Aza got the call up to Indonesia. Like, yeah, because we love going back to Indonesia. We always go every year. And just to play football for the country is just a crazy, crazy feeling at the time. Like, getting the call up, playing for Indonesia is just surreal. It's a real moment for me.
Your dad was still like, it's just started, son. Don't be too happy about it.
Yeah, nothing to be happy about. Yeah, you know, come on. It's my dad. My dad's always like that.
All right. So, and then Qatar happened.
Oh, Qatar, yep.
Tell us your days or months before that last year.
It was really, really busy. So after the Bali camp I was talking about earlier, there was an Independence Cup, because Indonesia have Independence Day on the August 17th, I believe. So we held a Independence Cup with Mali, Uzbekistan and Tajikistan in Medan, actually. So this is where I made my debut. We played in front of 25,000 people. It was a crazy feeling to debut in front of 25,000 people. And I managed to get an assist on my first game for the country, which is crazy. Like, the fans were, like, the crowd's roaring and, like, yeah, like, it's crazy. Like, I put a cross into the box, got my striker, Alberto, he got a goal. That game ended up drawing 2-2. I think we came second behind Mali in that cup, so we didn't do too bad as a team. Next was a Bulgaria camp, so we went to Europe. This was during start of September. We spent 2 weeks over there in Bulgaria. We played North Macedonia. We played two other Bulgarian league teams, which was a really good fight, really good test for us as a team to see where we're at. After the Bulgaria camp, it was the main camp. So this main camp was in Jogja and Jakarta and Dubai. So this was going for like a month or 2 months straight. So this was a long time. I haven't seen my family I haven't been at school.
Yeah, so it was like consecutively, like you were not going back.
Like, I'd be back in Sydney for 1 week and then I'd have to go back and then back here.
High
again.
Flyer,
yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it was Jogja, Jakarta. That was mainly physical training. So like in the gym, a lot of running, conditioning, stuff like that. And then we headed over to Dubai after Jakarta. In Dubai, we just focused on our tactical, how we played it as a team and just bonding off the field as well. And then after Dubai, that's when we made the move to Qatar in order for the World Cup. and which was good. It was a good experience overall.
Do you remember what you were thinking? I mean, like, playing for, like, the FIFA, the World Cup under 17, then that's me, you know? How was that?
I mean, it was just, like, as soon as I knew that I was playing in a World Cup, like, it's something I'll never forget for the rest of my life. Like, playing in a World Cup, I'm sure, is everyone's dream. Every little kid's dream to play in a World Cup. And to know that, to say that I've been able to achieve that is just something crazy to say, which is just pays off, which just shows all my hard work has been paid off so far. And hopefully there's plenty more to come.
Right. Your hard work and maybe dad's.
Yeah.
Hard work or...
Help.
And that's prayer. Help.
Yeah.
Right. Is it difficult or easy for you? I know that you always mixed with multicultural people, I would say, even in Sydney FC maybe, and then go to Indonesia national team, you know, kids your age, kids, maybe not kids, but like young men your age from different backgrounds. Like, is it hard to blend in that sense?
It's really hard, especially with like the cultural differences. Like in Australia, there's some things I wouldn't be able to do in Indonesia and some things I wouldn't be able to do here. It's just the culture shock. First time I arrived in Indonesia, like the amount of respect we have to show to the coaches, like, and it was just different. Like, it's just everything, the environment, the setting was, it just felt different. The humor, the way the boys spoke, it's just everything was different. More on the social, like socially, on a like talking, communicating with people, it's just different.
But how would you survive that? How did you survive those?
Look, I just been myself. Like, I just told them who I am, what I do, where I'm from, and they respect you for it because we're all, and at the end of the day, we're all Indonesian, and we're all here to accomplish a dream, which is to play at a World Cup and do well. And yeah, that went all right. That went smooth.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned it earlier. So what's the next schedule after this February?
So after this February, I'm looking to join the team again. So this is a new team, actually. This is including 2007 born. So I'm a 2008 born. So this will be an under-19s, under-20s team. So mainly 07, 08 borns.
So they will do the selection again?
Yeah, selection again. We'll go through the selection process. I think maybe in Jakarta. So I'll fly out again in April, so which is soon, in 2 months. And hopefully I will be playing in the AFF, which is coming up in June, start of June, in Medan.
Your dad is coming everywhere with you or not really?
No, just...
For example, for that selection, for those processes?
For all the training camps and selection processes, no. He doesn't come with me. But in Qatar, I think him and my uncle and his wife, they both came to Qatar, which was a surreal feeling seeing them on the sideline, like in the crowd.
And still yelling, not good enough!
Yeah. I remember I was warming up. I was warming up with the team because we wanted to warm up in front of our crowd, you know, like hearing the chants. Like, it was just like a heartwarming moment for me and the team and like the staff as well, even the coaches, like seeing so many Indonesian supporters, including my dad and my other family that I had there. At Qatar was just crazy. Like, we packed out every stadium we had. We played over there. It was just a crazy moment. But Qatar, even though, like, there wasn't a big crowd, as big as of a crowd in Medan, Qatar was still a shaky feeling. Like, walking out the tunnel, shaking the other team's hand and playing, like, you're playing for your country at a World Cup. You've got to perform.
Is there any bad experience at all that you can share from this journey, from being, you know, someone who plays for Sydney FC and then try a different setting in Indonesia, playing with the national team? Is there any, I don't know, a bad experience at all for you?
Honestly, I don't even think I had. I don't remember one bad experience I had, apart from the weather. Like in Indonesia, it's so much more humid. Like the air is hot, like it's muggy, but compared to here, so like just adapting to like the weather and like running in the heat. Like, because usually we'd train twice a day, one before, like one in the morning, one at night. So it would, that's not really hot, but during the day, it's boiling. So usually just adapting to the weather, playing, and that's it really. Because in Indonesia, it's really humid, especially right. Jogja. I remember I was training in Jogja for like one of my first times. Humid, different level. It's crazy.
Right, right. But you do practice here as well during summer.
Yes, I do. So during the summer, usually it's off season, so I wouldn't be with my club. So it's usually a holiday for all of us. So I'll do my own training, do my own.
And it's
training.
Usually like after, like in at night or like
yeah,
during
usually
the day?
At night after school. So it's not, I see. It's not no problem.
Do you think the Azar 4 years old Azar would ever think that he will be at this point in his life, you reckon?
No way. No way. I think I just kept believing in myself, kept training, kept putting the hours in, and that's what got me here today. So the four-year-old me, I think, would just be playing football for the fun, like just every day going down to the park, local park, local team, playing football just with friends. Like I didn't think I could make it this far, to be honest. So hopefully this journey still continues and we'll see what's to come.
If you're not with Indonesian national team nor Sydney FC, where would you be now? Would you still be doing soccer?
Honestly, I'd still be playing football, to be honest. Like even though I'm not where I want to be, like I'll still be playing football because mainly I enjoy it. Because like if you're enjoying something, why not do it? Like, if I wasn't playing, like, if I wasn't, like, even if I didn't have the ability to reach what I've reached today, like, I'd still be playing football. Hopefully, like, with my friends and stuff. Yeah, of course.
Great. Yeah. Azar Jacob Tanjung, terima kasih waktunya bersama SBS Indonesian kali ini.
Yeah.
What did I say just now?
We are on SBS. I don't know.
Well, that's pretty close.
I don't know.
But thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Good luck for April and beyond.
Yeah.
Terima kasih.
Sama-sama.
Okay.
Anda ingin mendengar cerita-cerita seperti ini? Dengarkan di Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, atau dimanapun Anda mendapatkan podcast Anda.